When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's Halo time, as we are talking about Halo on Paramount Plus here on Post Show Recaps. Talking Halo Season 1, Episode 2, Unbound. I am Josh Wigler, and I am joined here by a man who I keep locked up in the Wario Casino. Looks like a prison, but it's actually very cozy for him. I feed him churros whenever he wants. The great Corey B.
Wow, I was not expecting you to compare me to Reth. I'm
just surprised, like, you don't see the comparison. You're always crawling around on all fours.
I never stand up.
You never stand up.
I look like the old man Jafar from Aladdin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
This is your move.
It's true. It's true. Well, I will comprehend that for a moment, but it's great to be here. It's great to be back for episode two.
We are 2 weeks deep into Halo Season 1. We have an unmasked Master Chief now for the vast majority of this episode. At certain points in the episode, Corey, he proceeds to hide the face. So we appreciate that he could both show and hide the face here.
But we have a new concept here in this episode. We had showing the face in episode one, but in episode two, we've got like showing the bod, you know?
Showing the bod.
Yeah, we got John, a little bit of John, but at the end, we got some Mackie as well. We got some bod showing here.
Yes, there's definitely some bod action. Is this going to be a Halo bodcast? Is that what we're going to do?
It is now. It's the Halo Bodcast.
All right. Well, here we are. We're going to show you the Halo Bod as we are going to be talking about season one, episode two, Unbound, as we are going to explore a brand new location this week, Corey. I believe if I wrote this down properly, it is pronounced rubble, 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 rubble. Did I get it right?
Yeah, you got it. You have to say it. You have to say it seven times.
Too. Rubble, 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 rubble. Yeah. So we're going to go to Rubble, Rubble. We're going to meet my guy, Bokeem Woodbine, as Soren, who, gosh, I love immediately. Incredible character. We're going to meet Soren's whole flipping family this week. Shouts to Kessler and Lyra. We love Soren's family. I hope that they're not secret bad guys. I'm so concerned that, like, that this kid Kessler, he's like marking people.
He's putting the mark of death on, mm-hmm. on his enemies.
Yeah. Death smiles upon you, Master Chief. So I don't know. I mean, Soren certainly has a lot of reasons to not be super thrilled with John, if that's the direction this ends up taking. But at the very least, it seems like, you know, there's that great moment at the end of this episode, Corey, where it's like, I need to know if I can trust you right now. He's like, you can trust me. It's like, that's what the guy you don't trust says.
That's
but also
true.
The guy you do trust probably says it too. So yeah, I'm gonna trust him. I'm choosing to trust him.
I was streaming last night and there was a person in my chat who looked like a troll. And I said, you look like a troll. And he said, I'm not a troll. Mm-hmm. But then, are you a troll? Because wouldn't a troll also say that they're not a troll? It's a tough
yes.
one. Same thing with trust. You know, they're going to say that they can trust you, but wouldn't an untrustworthy person say that?
Did it turn out to be a troll?
I don't know. They left.
Hard to know.
It was pretty non-eventful.
Hard to know. This is an eventful episode of the show. I think we start canonizing a lot of the backstory we were talking about over the past couple of episodes of the podcast, Corey, where we're hearing from this character, Ref, who is going to be familiar to some, certainly of people who are fans of the Wheel of Time and the podcast coverage here on Post Show Recaps. That's Johan Myers, who was Patton Fane from Wheel of Time Season 1, back on your streaming services here as Ref. And he's going to, you know, kind of, you know, expose dump us.
Yeah, he's a plot device a little bit here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to razzle-dazzle us with some information about the Covenant. They love this technology. They worship it. You're a special one. You're the blessed one. I'm not. You are.
I guess in some ways your comparison of me to Reth makes sense in that last week I told you a lot of this information.
Yes.
And
you were on all fours. It's what
right.
I'm saying.
We don't broadcast the video, but we are on video here. And mm-hmm. I was crawling around the room while I was podcasting.
That would be the second weirdest video podcast that I did in the last 7 days, by the way.
Okay.
There's one weirder, but I will not... I will not spill the details on that. I'm going to take that to my grave all the way. I will not show the face on the answer to
sure,
all of that.
Or the bod.
I will show the way to the podcast feed. If you have not yet subscribed to our Halo podcast here on Post Show Recaps, we encourage you to do so. PostShowRecaps.com/HaloPod will get you our RSS link. Just search for Halo Post Show Recaps in your podcatcher of choice. As well, ratings and reviews tremendously appreciated as we are seeking to find as many blessed ones out there in the known universe to join us here on our weekly Halo conversation. Of course, you can keep that conversation going with both myself and Corey on Twitter. I'm at Round Howard. Corey is at CavX. You could talk to the two of us as well in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord at patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Sign up at any level and you will find some Discord access. It's almost April 1st. In fact, by the time you are listening to this podcast, perhaps it even is April 1st. And it's no joke that the first of the month is always the best time to sign up for the Post Show Recaps Patreon. Patreon charges you at the start of the month and they charge you right as soon as you sign up as well. So you get a lot of bang out of your buck if you sign up early on in the month and you get to see Corey crawling around the Wario Casino.
Right. Yeah, that's a feature, but you have to be at the $10 level to see me crawling around the Wario Casino.
That's true. That's true. $5 level, you could see Corey crawling around Casino Gold. If you want to know what the casino is all about, we have like a very easy to learn casino system in the campus section of the Discord that you get at the $5 level. So lots of reasons to sign up. We would certainly appreciate it. If you can't at this point or at any time, we certainly understand. Those ratings and reviews, though, are tremendously helpful. Corey, before we start getting into this episode proper, I want to just gut check you how you're feeling about Halo 2 episodes in as somebody who is deeply connected to the Halo franchise.
I am doing all right. I think I'm enjoying the episodes. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying the ride. I sort of mentioned last episode that I think this is sort of a thing where you have this tight grip on the lore, and if you just are willing to let go a little bit and enjoy it, I think that it'll be fun. Yeah. You know, this episode didn't have as much like action in it. It was more expositional. But I also think that there was a weird sort of turn in a lot of the reactions I saw online, where there were still, of course, the people who are saying, not my Halo, right? And I understand. But at the same time, I think a lot of people are starting to reconcile the idea that this is a different timeline. People were starting to compare it to the MCU, where they watch it on TV and it's different than the comics, and they have to just be okay with that. And they can still enjoy it for what it is. It doesn't mean that it's not Halo,
yeah,
intrinsically, just because things are different. And not everyone's feeling that way, but I do feel like that sentiment has increased, and I feel that way even more this episode. I'm really starting to settle in a little bit, if that makes sense.
I enjoyed this one quite a bit. I think that infusing this show with some big Bokeem Woodbine energy was definitely helpful for me.
Absolutely.
I am so confused about his arm. What happened? Yeah. What happened to it? Did he get was it trapped in some kind of gooey clay? what happened to Soren's hand, Corey? Is this explained? Is this rooted in the video games?
So Soren is not in the video games, but Soren...
I understand that, but are people getting smudgy hands?
Well,
is that,
I was going to say,
that comes from Halo.
Smudgy hands is a thing, and Soren was actually in the books, so he's not an original character to this timeline.
Right.
And Soren was very disfigured by his Spartan training in the books, and I assume that they've carried that forward a little bit to the show, where you saw all the scars on these on John as he woke up in the sort of flashback scene at the beginning, and I think that the implication is that they have all these physical augmentations. Halsey says later in the episode that they've really pushed them to the brink of what we're capable of doing physically.
Yeah.
And I think that has complications. I think at least in the main timeline, in the main canon, people die, people get disfigured and mutilated, or they literally lose their minds.
Right.
And these things are common, and in fact, relatively common.
I just heard you say bee stings are common. And
bee stings are common.
Did he get stung? Did that cause the swelling?
It was a genetically modified bee.
Yeah.
That's where we're going with this. Yeah. It's a bee. Yeah. It's gotta be a bee.
Yeah. That's why I had to go to rubble. Cause he needed to go and get a closer to the sweet honey supply that the pirates are bringing, into this asteroid city. Rubble was cool. I really liked the world building there. Another thing that I loved about this episode, Corey, was that, they didn't waste any time just being like, yeah, Bern Gorman's going to be a bad guy. We can't hide this. So we'll just show you that he's bad immediately. And I also thought that the casting was great across the board, but just launching into the episode specifically, Corey, this is such a delicate act to do when you're doing flashbacks and you're trying to cast main characters with younger versions of themselves.
Agreed.
Sometimes the younger version of the character just looks absolutely nothing at all and acts absolutely nothing at all like the mainline version of the character. I did not feel that way here. I thought that they did such a good job of casting the young Master Chief and young Soren. They both had huge Pablo Schreiber and Bokeem Woodbine energy, and I loved it. And it really rooted me in to the storyline in this very first scene of the episode, where it's 22 years ago. We're at the Spartan Training Center, and the story is told in a compelling enough way, Corey, that it makes it seem like Master Chief is trying to leave this place. And it certainly, that was what Soren thought Master Chief was going to be doing as well. But it turns out he's coming to be like, Soren, you can't go. And so we get into this really early conflict here early in the episode, and obviously early in the series as well now, of is this the right place to be? Is it good to be a Spartan? Are these people actually who are in charge of them actually kind of terrible? I think it's already infusing us with a bit of the moral conflict on the human side of the line. We know the Covenant is scary. They're being set up as the big bads, but maybe we should be pretty scared of the USNC as well. And I thought that this scene rooting it in these two kids who are so much like the future versions of the characters was very effective.
They sold it for me, absolutely, and it was really powerful. Having John have that relationship with Soren, what is going to be valuable, not only because it sets that up, sets that conflict up, but because Soren, we find, is John's literally only connection that's outside of the UNSC. Like, Soren is literally the only person John knows who's not part of his world. And so John sort of continues down the path of sort of being immersed in the world, giving into what Soren calls his programming, and sort of just being all in on the UNSC. And Soren, on the other hand, finds his freedom, and he follows his dreams and becomes more free. But I think Soren has more visibility to it because he suffered more consequences of, you know, his training, and he it seems like that was part of it as well. He talks about how what happened to his arm as part of the reason why he's seeing them for what they are, I guess.
Yeah. So we don't know what happened to him. That might be something that gets, revealed over time, is like exactly what happened to like the mutation there. Mutations in Halo, though, that's a thing, you would say?
Yeah, I think it's like a side effect of this genetic augmentation, right? So it's okay. So it's a negative thing. It's obviously a side of, well, of course it's a negative thing. It's a side effect of the augmentation going on.
You could spin it.
I could spin it. That's what they do. I'm sure they told Soren, oh, it's fine. You've got one functional arm and two super soldier legs, and
yeah, your legs are so powerful.
Yeah. Who needs the extra arm, really?
I think that's my lucky arm. I like this moment where John, draws on Soren. He's like, I can't let you go. And Soren's like, honestly, please. Like, fine. Let me go or shoot me. Either way, I'm free. And I thought that really, for me, was like, okay, I'm out on the Spartan program. Like, this is not a good thing. This is not a good thing. If this guy wants to either die or leave, this can't be great. Can't be great.
Yeah, and it's not good. It's not good at all. It's interesting because I thought about that scene, and I was like, I mean, if Soren only had his helmet on, John wouldn't even be able to shoot him. Same as first episode. You take the helmet off and then you're vulnerable. You got to be careful.
Yeah. Got to be careful showing that face.
That's right.
Soren asks for a 10-minute head start. Just, I'll give you 5. That seems to be a point of contention throughout their continued relationship with each other.
Yeah, this turns out to be a big deal.
I think that not giving him those 5 minutes, it's possible that could bear out poorly for John in the long run. We'll see.
I think so, too. I think that trust we were talking about, that makes it harder.
So in the present, we see that John is like thinking about all of this as he's still flying the ship. He's on the way to Rubble, Rubble, Rubble. And they're taking a more direct path through space. And John starts to explain how they're flying so fast. Is think about space like a yarn with multiple threads and quasars. You're ruining it. is it light speed? Is this described in the game how you fast travel?
Yeah. So in Halo, this is called slip space. And Miranda later in the episode makes a reference to how her discoveries have sort of helped their advancements to be able to go through slip space, but it is sort of it's like a dimensional travel sort of thing where it's more of a jump than it is like a light speed sort of thing. But obviously I don't think you've ever seen it in the games from the perspective of being in slip space, so that was definitely new and very interesting.
I thought it was cool. It looked really great. There's like big blue lights.
And someone's probably going to correct me immediately on that. And they've been in slip space a bunch of times in the games, but at least the cool blue light effect was definitely a new thing. And I loved that. I thought that was a really fun visualization of that one.
So as they're, flying together, she's like, could you just clarify for me why you thought, it would be wise to save my life? And he's just like, yeah, I gotta tell you, I really don't know. I'm not entirely sure why I did it. I was like, okay, well, thank you. He says, you're welcome. So Master Chief's going through a thing. He's going to tell Halsey at the end of the episode. He's like, I don't think the situation changed. I think I'm changing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are definitely some things behind that might be happening too, which we can get into as we get down that road. But he's definitely changing for sure. And he's becoming more aware of what's going on around him. And but he's still sort of figuring things out. He's sort of trying to find his proverbial his proverbial helmet, or take off his proverbial helmet. I don't know.
Yes. Well, Corey, Master Chief is certainly changing as we get to the opening credits sequence.
Yeah. See. Were you waiting for that one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, we had the full intro scene again.
Yeah, and he's full changing into his costume.
We got some feedback in the Discord that was good. I think Riley really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, some people really liked it. And I'll, you know, I don't know yet if I'm eating my own words, Corey, but what I will say is I didn't skip it.
I didn't either.
I didn't skip it. I watched it.
I considered it and I didn't.
Yeah, I just kind of sat there and let it happen to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, okay. Maybe this will grow on me. I think it is the Gregorian chants, and I want to hear that.
That's true. The musical side of it is great.
Yes, yes. I'm fond of the musicality of the show so far. So when we're out of the opening credits, we are at UNSC FleetCom on, is this planet Reach? Is Reach a planet?
Yes, Reach is a planet. Reach is the same place as the headquarters that they were on in the last episode. So Reach is okay. The name of the planet that HQ is on. Yeah,
got it. It's beautiful in the daytime. You know,
absolutely. See, it's like
a big city with the sprawl of the city and the mountains in the distance, and there's some water. It's very verdant.
Very verdant. Nice.
Yeah,
it's a gorgeous place, and. And just for reference, there's in fact a game called Halo Reach. Just so you know, there's an entire game that is set on Reach. But yeah, no, this area, I think they call it White Tower. But they've never referenced it. They only referenced it that way in the Twitter posts and all that stuff. It seems like, but yeah, it's a gorgeous place. Absolutely, yeah, they did a great job with the design here.
I liked it quite a bit. So Dr. Halsey's like reading in this guy. Did we get a name for this dude?
Yes.
What's his name?
This is Fleet Admiral Lord Terrence Hood.
Fleet Admiral Lord Terrence Hood?
Yes, that's his full name.
Now, is
also from the game originally.
Is the Fleet Admiral and the Lord, are those separate titles, or is he the Lord of the Fleet Admirals?
That I actually don't know. Is Lord his first name? I've never actually realized.
Fleet Admiral Lord Terrence Hood.
Yeah. I think it's probably two separate titles, right? But
don't you think if you're a Lord, you don't also have to be a Fleet Admiral?
You would think that you're just the Lord. Yeah.
You're just the Lord. Choose one. Let someone else get the Fleet Admiral status. Or if you're a Fleet Admiral, someone else can be the Lord.
If you don't want to be the Lord, you can be the Fleet Admiral.
So greedy. Fleet Admiral Lord Terrence Hood. Whoever went to work that day when they needed to name this character back in the early 2000s, I hope got a huge raise.
I hope so, too. I think they were just struggling to know what title to give our friend Terrence Hood and
Terry Hood,
like Terry Hood.
Yeah.
And they were like, let's just, why not both, porque no las todas. That's like, let's Fleet Admiral Lord Terrence Hood. And
incredible.
Fleet Admiral Lord Terrence Hood is just a very high ranking UNSC leader.
Yeah.
That is very prominent, and I was not necessarily expecting him to show up here, but it was nice. It was a fun sort of tieback appearance there.
Yeah, it kind of feels like if Ed Harris wasn't tied up with Westworld, Ed Harris would be showing up as this guy.
See that
he sort of has this like very serious vibe, and he's meeting with Dr. Halsey and be like, hey, how did the Spartan kind of just like break loose? Isn't that not supposed to happen? And she says, dude, I know.
Right.
Right is what she says. And he looks at her. He's like, yeah, that's why I'm asking. She goes, oh. And he says, yeah, could you tell me what happened? And she said, well, listen, don't worry about it. We're going to bring him in. He's going to come back. We're going to rebuild some trust with him because we've got a contingency plan for how to deal with situations like these in the future. And Fleet Admiral Lord Terrence Hood says, could you tell me and the other Fleet Admiral Lords what your contingency plan is? I think that we should know it. And when you do, just keep it light.
Yeah, keep it light at the Fleet Admiral Lord Committee meeting.
Yeah. So it's like, all right, I will. I'll be there in a few scenes and I'll tell you exactly what I've got in mind. Yep. In the next
he's
scene,
up to something.
Guess what? Other Spartans are showing the face. We are getting to see the faces of Vanek, Kai, and Riz, John's fellow Spartans. Now, is it in the game, Corey, that it's just Master Chief who never shows you his face, or is this across the board with the Spartans?
Really, it's just Master Chief. Yeah, and it's more of like people sometimes forget that Master Chief takes off his helmet a lot in the games. You just never see the face. So canonically, it's not like Master Chief ever had an aversion to removing his helmet. And so, especially in the later games, they start to show more and more Spartans without their helmets on. So, yeah, it definitely happens. It's not too unsettling, like at a whole, right? As a general idea for the Spartans, it's pretty common.
Yeah. So I'm gonna have trouble tracking who is who.
As am I.
Vanek and Kai and Riz, because they don't really have personalities yet, as far as I can tell.
Well. Kai is my brother's name, so that helps me remember Kai a little bit. She's like the she's the one that seems a little more concerned about everything during these
is
plots.
Is it her or is it Riz who's concerned? You're saying it's Kai. I trust you. It's Kai.
I feel like Kai seems the most concerned because Kai's the one that says, "Hey, if Master Chief's got a plan, why are we going after him? Like, it doesn't make sense." And Riz is the one that comes in and just says, "Hey, we found him." Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's how it goes.
Okay.
Like Kai is the one that like has a little bit of doubt.
I trust that. I for sure trust that. I'm just going to need some time to get to know these characters because their whole storyline so far is we got to find John before anyone else finds him.
Yeah, they're not really being fleshed out as much as I thought they'd be at this point, but I'm sure
it's early.
Yeah,
it's early. So I expect that we will get more from them. All three of them are series regulars.
Yeah,
that does not guarantee that they will have big stories. There are people on many TV shows that have lasted the entire run of a TV show as a series regular, and they had like three lines.
Right. But I will say from a marketing perspective, it seems like they're up there, you know, in terms of who they want us to know. So, yeah, I think that's probably what's going to happen is we're going to get to see more of them as we go along. But, yeah, you never know.
Who is Seymour of them? So they are going off to look for Master Chief. And then meanwhile, Master Chief and Quan, they're flying through this asteroid belt. Quan's really freaked out. She's like, they're going to get us killed. And he's like, everything dies. She's like, that's not comforting to hear right now.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we could die later. That would be. But I mean, in Master Chief's defense, he is making some maneuvers here.
Like, yeah.
He knows how to fly this thing.
Scary maneuvers. But she says, what's the plan? And he says, my plan is for you to sit down and buckle up.
Which I feel like she should have done earlier, personally.
Yeah. Don't fly through yarn space without buckling your seatbelt. What was it called?
You're coming out of
slip space.
Yeah. Slip space. If you're coming out of slip space, wouldn't you want to have your seatbelt on?
Yeah,
it just seems like a good
seat
idea.
Belt. Yeah, you think so? Buckle in, buckle up, as Lily Sobieski says in The Glass House. As they are flying through space and through the asteroids, eventually they round the bend. And they see rubble.
They do. It's beautiful. They did a really good job with this, in my opinion. And the rubble is like I believe, again, I'm not a book reader, but I've studied a little bit about a lot of these things. And the rubble, it was also in a variety of books. I believe, book spoiler, I don't think the rubble survives.
Yeah, sure. I could see that.
But I don't think that is canon here. I think that it already
been
gone at this point in the Silver timeline. So
yeah, we're in the Silver timeline. You know, the books, the games, they are more like guidelines than actual rules.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, fascinating place. I didn't know anything about this until I started sort of cross-referencing things with the book storylines. But it's real. I really love that they sort of brought us here. I hope we get to come back.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. Chumba. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So we show up on Rubble. No one seems particularly psyched to see a Spartan.
No, not exactly.
You know, he's got guns on him from the moment he walks in.
Somebody tried to on him.
Yeah, he gets spat upon. Someone blocks his path with a forklift,
which seems ineffective to me.
Yeah, Master Chief just like pushes the forklift.
But I mean, and you've already got guns drawn on him. Why are you blocking him with a forklift?
Yeah, at that point, you know, don't bother with the forklift. The forklift just feels like maybe it's just insulting.
Yeah, I think it's like a mockery sort of thing. I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Like a call in mockery sort of thing.
Yeah.
Calling him and mocking him, you know.
Yeah, call in mockery.
Call and mockery, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I like that. Who else got it? I got it.
Thank you. I mean, we're the ones talking live, so I'm glad at least one person got
it. Whose line is that anyway?
I don't know.
Someone says, "Nice of you to drop by." Whose line is that anyway? That's Soren's line. Mm-hmm. As Soren shows up, and it's Bokeem Woodbine, who I'm so psyched to see, as he's here to greet John. And it seems like, is this the first time they've seen each other since they parted ways all those years ago?
Seems that way. Yeah. And Soren immediately gets his iconic jacket over the armor look.
How are we feeling about the jacket over the armor now that we're seeing it in action?
I mean, he pulls it off, but like, I still think it's a little strange. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe there's like an arm thing going on with it. Maybe it's like arm related. Like there's just like some comfort there or something. And doesn't want to put armor over it, but he wears the jacket. I don't know. But I mean, it doesn't look as strange as it did in like the preview shots. Like when you're watching it live, when you're watching the movement of it and everything, it doesn't stand out that much, but I still think it's a little weird.
It's a little strange.
Yeah.
So when we come back to the Rubble, we're watching, there's some TV footage of Venture, who is this guy who is, you know, speaking out against the UNSC in the commercials or the newscasts.
Yeah, we saw him at the very beginning of the first episode.
Uh-huh. And now we are seeing that he has since taken over Madrigal. And it seems like all of that was hot air, Corey. It was all nonsense. He was just waiting to get installed by UNSC.
Yeah.
And he's being very disrespectful to the memory of Quan's late father, who we watched get skewered by an elite last week. He is one of these people who wants Quan dead.
He is. And I have to say, I called this. I mean, not that it was that hard to predict that he was sort of a plant, Right. And it was interesting to see. I wasn't sure based on the first episode how many other parts of Madrigal there were. I assumed it wasn't that one colony, but we kind of get a little bit more of like a broader sense of Madrigal in this episode too. But yeah, he's taken over. He's taken over. He's cleaning house, literally.
Yeah, he sure is. So we hear about this. We're going to see footage of him actually executing people in this really barbaric fashion.
Yeah.
Not that there's not really a barbaric fashion with which to execute people. But there's just something really chilling, Corey, about how he unmasks this one person and then shoots her, puts the mask back on.
Yeah, and he's telling a limerick or a poem of some kind as he's doing it.
Yeah, haiku bod. I don't really know exactly what's going on there, but we're going to see later on Quan watching that and being like, oh, I can't wait to reunite with that guy later on in the series and kill him.
Yeah, it's going to happen, I'm sure.
Got to happen. But before we even get to any of that, we see Soren is just touring. He's, tour guiding them through rubble. This is the home to every ally. Basically, it's the Mos Eisley Cantina writ large, right? The hive of scum and villainy.
I definitely got those vibes when he's like, it's the home to every misfit, reprobate, outlaw, and renegade in the galaxy. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, scum and villainy.
One thing that I really enjoyed is they then get on a mine cart, to go through the various mine shafts.
Yeah, and closed captioning called this a cable car. When they first got it, and I was like, that looks just like a mine car. Like, why are they calling it a cable car?
So they're going through the cable car, I guess, as they're going through these mines, and immediately my head goes to Bokeem Woodbine, who previously starred in the Nicolas Cage movie The Rock. And there's this iconic scene in The Rock, an action scene going through ostensibly mines with a mine cart. I don't remember if Bokeem Woodbine is in that scene or not, but my head just went there. And then in this, Corey, as I'm thinking that, Soren says, yeah, this place is pretty great. I got the whole Rock to myself.
Oh.
And I was like, what?
It's a callback.
Come on. We got it. So it's cool, though. You're seeing the cable car flying around and, reattaching to different cables.
Yeah, if I was an engineer for this cable car, mine cart combo, I feel like I wouldn't, I would exclude the part where it's literally flying through the air before it latches onto the cable. I would probably make it latch onto the cable first.
Yeah.
Prior to just dropping into the sky.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's cool,
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very rebellious thing to do, right? We're the rebels. We're going to make our cable cars.
Is that why it's called rubble? Because they're rubbles?
It's the rubbles.
Yeah.
I think so.
Is this going to be the site of the rebellion against the UNSC?
Well, I thought it was called the rubble because it was their favorite Paw Patrol pup.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Are you the guy for the Paw Patrol podcast?
I'll join the Paw Patrol podcast. It's been a little bit, my son is a little bit older for that now, but I'm still well-versed.
Yeah. But I kept up with it.
I can't ignore a narrative. So if something is on TV, I know what happens. I know all the details.
We get to meet Soren's family here. There's this kid, Kessler, his wife, Lyra, and they just all seem great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like him.
They seem like a fun time. When we leave rubble for a bit, we are going to check in on the Covenant, and we're seeing Maki again, and she's talking to the survivor of the Madrigal raid, right?
Right.
Yeah,
and I have predictions for what's going to happen to this particular elite, by the way, which I'm not going to spoil what my predictions are because I don't want to spoil it for you.
Sure.
But I do have some predictions on what's going to happen with this elite, and I'm sure anyone who's played the games already knows what that prediction is.
You think this guy is important, this particular elite?
I think that he's important, for sure.
Okay,
I could be wrong. I hope that I'm not, because that would be a great direction to take it.
Cool. Yeah, I would love for one of the elites to be an actual character. It would be great.
Absolutely.
I'm very on board with that. So she's getting mad about hearing about that there is... she is outright called by one of these three... Mercy, and what are the other two? What are they called again?
Yeah, so there's Truth, Mercy, and Regret.
And they're the prophets, right?
Yes.
And so the prophets are talking to her. They're calling her Blessed One, mm-hmm. which takes on a different connotation by the end of the episode, I feel like. And she wants to get out there. She wants to stop this thing. And they're, you know, she's saying, are you questioning my loyalty? They're saying, no, your place is here. You're sacred. You know, we need to protect you effectively.
Yeah, she wants
right?
to go out in the field and they don't like it. And I understand why they might not like that.
Yeah. So they don't want to do that. They need to, you know, they value her too much in order to put her out into danger. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about Maki? You know, we don't get a ton of Maki content in this episode. I mean, arguably we do at the end.
Yeah, that there's a ton at the end for sure. Yeah, I think Maki is still sort of. I think the jury is out a little bit, but and there's still a little uncomfiness there. Like, why would the covenant take in a human? But there are, you know, the whole Blessed One side of things, being able to activate these artifacts. As I mentioned last episode, the whole like reclaimer concept is basically what that is. Yeah. You're able to sort of interface with these things and leverage these things that the forerunners, the race who came before, they left them behind. And it makes sense that the covenant would sort of revere them. But at the same time, I don't know. It's still, you know, but at this, it's like, I can't put my words together. Apparently it's very interesting. Right.
Yeah.
And I think in the first episode, I was willing to put that aside, and I still am this episode. I just think the jury is still out a little bit on exactly where they go with it. Is she going to rebel against them? Like, what are their true intentions with her?
Sure.
I want to know that, but I'm immersed in it. I'm pulled in. I want to see what happens next for sure.
What happens next is we go to the Fleet Admiral Lord Terrence Hood's committee meeting.
We do the Fleet Admiral Lord committee.
Yeah. Fleet Admiral Lord Terrence Hood and friends are all hanging out, you know, around the table as you do. They're just trying to figure out, where's Master Chief? Where'd he go?
Yeah.
Well, we're looking for him. We'll find him. We'll punish him. And I think it's Fleet Admiral Lord Terrence who's like, if we're going to punish him, you know, he's a symbol of the war. He's,
yeah.
you know, he's a popular guy. That would be pretty bad for morale.
And by the way, they're also talking about gas prices in this meeting, which I thought was pretty topical.
Yes.
You know, uh-huh. talking about how this will help the gas prices in the universe. And it's always about the gas prices.
Some things never change.
That's right.
You know, Dr. Halsey's like, well, I've got an idea. Let me pitch y'all on something. What do you think about AI hybrid clone stuff?
Yeah.
And what do you think about that? Do you guys want to talk about my Cortana program? And they're like, the Cortana program? She's like, yeah. What it's going to do is we're going to AI the crap out of some Spartans.
They're going to like override their consciousness.
We're going to melon scoop their consciousness out.
That's scary.
Yeah, I don't love it.
This is a deviation, just for the record. This
okay.
is like, okay. And you can see Admiral Perangovsky in the meeting just like silently fuming,
rolling her eyes, being like, oh, here she goes again,
and going over her right to get yeah. that approved.
Yes.
And by the way, I in my notes I abbreviate Admiral Perangovsky as APG, and I just want to keep calling her APG because
I'm good with it.
I think it's a great nickname.
I like it.
Yeah, but anyway, the Cortana program is being sort of branded as this sort of mind control device almost, which is super new. And I've heard some theories that maybe Halsey is just selling it that way, that maybe that's not what it does and it's still a separate AI, but she just wants to get her program funded and wants to get people off of her Spartans, and so she's just pitching that.
Yeah.
And she's you know, she's manipulating the truth. She does that all the time. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they kept this. You know,
yeah, I feel like it is if you're a Halo fan and you're concerned about this, just my history with adaptations, you know, sometimes this could be the kind of thing that's like a choice that's being made that maybe isn't going to be one that you necessarily love
yeah.
the leap. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, for me, I don't really know. I mean, I think that this show for me very clearly, like, you know, from the get, I just do not trust any of these people.
Yeah, nor should you.
You know, yeah. Anything that, like, if the game is kind of like a slow burn on whether or not you should be good with the UNSC or anything, like, it's been a pretty quick burn of like, no, I don't think that these are the good guys, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and the game sort of buries it. Like, this is not a very big thing in the games at all in terms of, like, the UNSC's morality, because they're just so thrown into this war of survival that you know about this stuff, but it doesn't really matter because you're fighting for your survival.
Yeah.
And they don't really have that aspect yet in the games. You don't feel this immense pressure from the Covenant where it's just like, is humanity going to survive? They talk about it that way, but they're pausing down and making sure you know who the bad guys are in humanity.
Yeah. So APG could shoot this down, reluctantly gives the thumbs up. So the Cortana test pilot is going to go forward.
And the interesting thing about this is they have this concept of flash cloning, right? When I mentioned in the main canon the idea of the Spartan 2 program, they also, when I mentioned they kidnapped the kids and then they replaced them with clones, that is the same idea of this flash cloning, where they're very, like, unstable. But I assume what's going to happen is Halsey's going to use this clone that we see later in the episode and saw last episode too.
Yeah.
And she's basically going to extract their consciousness, and who cares about the body is my assumption.
Okay.
And that's obviously why it's illegal and unethical and why she was questioned about it in this Fleet Admiral Lord Committee, the Falk, as I like to call it, FALC. FALC, everyone, just to be clear. So I think that'll be an interesting sort of path to follow for sure.
Yeah. What the Falk? all right. So we go back to rubble. And now this is where Quan's watching, the Vinsher stuff. It's like, God, I could have told you all that guy was a bad guy. So, you know, this Bern Gorman, he's always doing Bern Gorman things. And she's upset.
She's seen his filmology. She knows.
Yeah. And Lyra says, so what are you after here then? You want revenge? She says, I want justice. And Lyra says, it's pretty easy to confuse those two things. And somewhere, in the Bat Cave, Batman is watching this show on his streaming device. Like, that's right. It's pretty hard.
Yeah, you better watch out for that.
Yeah, revenge and justice. It's really hard to know which is which. Sorn is giving John something to eat. He's like, what do you think that tastes like? He's like, I don't know. That's freedom, baby. He's like, it doesn't taste like anything.
Yeah, I didn't think this would be a thing, but that's sad if you can't taste anything as a Spartan.
Yeah. I do think it's kind of cool though, Corey, that in like the 2400s, that in that time period that we have evolved, we were really excited. There's like salty, there's sweet, there's not a, you've got your kind of core tastes,
right?
And now they've developed the taste for freedom. First it was umami, now it's freedom. We're really expanding the palate, which is
the freedom palate.
Yeah, and Soren's gonna be like, no, we don't want to expand the palate, we want to get rid of the palate, stop taking the palates.
That's right.
As we hear that Master Chief's been like, and the other Spartans, they like feast on these pellets that suppress their emotions and suppress their feelings and stuff.
Is it a feast on the pellet? I thought he said it was a pellet in his back.
Yeah, they're eating with their backs, Corey. That's
right.
Why John's like, I can't taste it. You know, my tongue is on my back.
Oh, we're going to weird spots here.
Huh?
Specifically, the back is the weird spot that we're going to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he ate it with his back, and it makes him numb, as Soren says, right?
Yeah.
And can't taste food. Also, he's numb to life.
Yeah, so get rid of the palate. It's going to be like opening your eyes for the first time. So they're walking around, and then Kessler, the kid, just rubber stamps John with this smiley face.
Out of nowhere. Stealthy.
And I guess it's because he stamps the people he likes.
Yeah, that's nice.
And John kneels down. He says, thank you, Kessler. I accept. I loved it.
Oh, me too.
Master Chief is so stiff.
Yeah, and then Soren literally mocks him and the way he says it.
He's like, you're so stiff.
Yeah.
Do you like Master Chief? He's helmetless. How are we feeling? This is a full, basically helmetless episode of Master Chief.
Yeah, and I suppose we should mention this is also where they do the whole like show the bod thing, right? For Master Chief specifically, because before he even comes in to Soren's like house, I guess house asteroid, he says, oh well, you know, I just cleaned the carpet, so you should take your armor off, and so
he's wearing like his jammies.
Yeah, his like UNSC jammies. Yeah. And Soren has matching pairs, so they're really wearing matching jammies.
I mean, Soren's jammies looked cozy.
They did. They did.
He was like in a silk robes and kimonos blaring in the background as he was just looking so fresh.
He was. Yeah. And yeah, to answer your question, I think that John, Master Chief, I feel like I like calling him Master Chief when he has his armor on and John when he has his armor off. It's almost instinctual for me right now. It's interesting.
Is that because he's currently wearing his long johns?
Oh, it must be. It must be. So Long John 117 here
Long John Silver. It's the Silver timeline.
Oh man. Okay.
Is anyone regretting listening to this yet?
It's Long John Silver. Mm-hmm.
He's a pirate. He's in Rubble. You know?
He is. He's becoming a pirate. Yeah. He's gotta embrace it. He's good. It's definitely a little unnerving. Like there's a part toward the end where he puts his helmet and his armor back on. I'm like, oh yeah, it's this guy still
right.
But I mean, they're fleshing out the character. They're doing a good job making him giving him a little more dimensionality. I don't mind. A
couple things happen that I don't really have much of a take on. We see the Spartans are just like flying through space. They're like, where's John? Well, you'll find him.
Yeah, we'll get him eventually. That's pretty much that.
And then there's like Miranda's going to go around and be like, just a reminder, I'm on the show and I disagree with some of the things you're doing.
Yeah. And I do a lot of sciencey things too. I was asking, I was like last episode recap. I was like, I don't know what she does specifically. And they basically, I think, made the scene to tell me what she does.
I do science.
Yeah. She does science. And she's like, oh, Halsey does all the Spartan stuff. And I do the other cool stuff, like making these energy shields we talked about last episode, or an active camera that makes you invisible, or the yarn, you know, the yarn space navigation. That's all stuff that I did, she says. I mean, so she's being, I mean, it didn't have a lot of weight to it, but I mean, I'm sure it's setting up that she's just feeling underappreciated. And I feel like she's going to turn. I feel like something's going to happen with her.
So then we go back to Rubble, where we're going to be for a lot of the rest of the episode in this sort of this push towards Reth here.
Yes.
John and Quan are going to show Soren the artifact. Soren touches it and nothing happens. So as you were talking about last time, not all humans have these major interactions with the old world artifacts.
Correct.
So, you know, nothing is happening when Soren touches it. Have we seen Quan try and touch it? I don't know that we have.
I don't believe we have. And so there are a couple clues based on what we might know from the core canon, at least. So that, who knows? But as to who else might have this ability, because there should be a decent amount of them, even if they're not a ton of them. Just because the idea is that I don't really think this is going to spoil much, but the idea is that early humanity was seeded with like this special genetic compound. They call it a Gesh in the game, I believe is how you pronounce it, which is basically like gives them innately in their genetics, in their DNA, gives them this ability. By this ancient race. Right. And so basically whoever carries those genes can continue to do this, but it's just not everybody. And so you, in theory, could extrapolate some more people who have the ability to do this, but I think that might be too much of a spoiler for me to speculate on. So I won't.
Okay, cool. So Soren touches it, nothing happens, but Soren at least has, you know, very useful intel and social collateral to use here on Rubble, and he says, "Let's go talk to this guy Reth. He was abducted by the Covenant. He has seen things. He knows things." So they're going to go and visit these guys, the Mystics, who are like not, Soren's going to say they're not imprisoned, that they're happier this way.
I would question that.
Yeah, me as well.
Seems like a little bit of like an excuse to me, but,
there's a bunch of people who are locked up here and get fed the occasional churro.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, if I could just be in a room and be fed churros, maybe I would be okay with it.
There's an argument that that is a happier existence. At least it's churros and not like gruel or yes. Soylent Green.
Right.
They're being fed churros, these delicious cinnamon, sugary, doughy fried sticks that have stood the test of time.
Obviously, yeah, we're 530 years in the future, and we're still making churros.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know,
they look delicious too.
Tired, Twinkies are going to be the food of the future. Wired, churros are the food of the future.
Absolutely,
I am thrilled that churros have made it this far.
Yeah, if anything did, I would want it to be churros.
Yeah, so. Soren's just like giving out churros like they're candy, and there's, you know, your
and
definition
poor Kwan
of candy
gets her churro stolen from her too.
Yes, her churro gets snatched. They go and they meet up with Reth, and he is, as mentioned, Johan Myers of the Wheel of Time fame, Patton Fane. He's just crawling around all over the place. He seems to be very interested in Kwan specifically.
Yes, this was curious to me. Yeah, he was really fascinated with Kwan.
Yes. And so he sees the Covenant tech. He sees the artifact. He goes to touch it. Nothing really happens, right, when he touches it?
Yeah, he can't do it.
And
he alluded to the fact that he was abducted by this Covenant ship, and they tried to make him do it. Maybe they were looking for their Maki, right?
Right, right.
And he couldn't.
Yeah.
And he still can't.
Yeah. He says, I'm not a blessed one. And they're like, what's a blessed one? He's like, it's your human, but only more so. And blessed ones have obligations, responsibilities, moral imperatives.
And he's absolutely right about all this, by the way. As much as they're trying to make him look a little out of his mind, as much as he's going off in this, Soren's like, oh, we're losing him when Master Chief cuts him off. Everything he's saying is completely accurate.
Right.
I don't think that's giving anything away.
No, but, I think it's pretty clear based on what happens next is he lifts up the artifact, and it seems like he's gonna like drive it down on John to like bash his head in.
It does seem like that.
But John grabs it, blasts off another blue wave of energy, and has yet another flashback.
This one's interesting too.
What did you glean from the flashback?
All right, so what do we got? We got like
more dog stuff.
The white dog, white wolf, whatever it is. He's like drawing a picture, and his parents are like hanging it up, and then he's like, "No, I don't want to do it." And so he's like chasing this wolf, up a hill, and then he sees like is it him? Someone's holding a body, and it looks maybe like it's him, like maybe he's dead. But what I think of that shot might be because later on there's this woman that we don't know who she is. There's a warthog, which is again the car that comes up, and he seems like he's leaving in it. So what I'm interpreting this to be is the scene where he gets abducted from his family to join the Spartan program. He gets distracted, the wolf runs away, they grab him and they replace him with the clone, who shortly after dies. And he's saying, I don't want to do it, I don't want to go, because he's being sort of abducted into the Spartan 2 program. So I'm pretty sure, interpretation wise, that's what this is, sort of this jumbled little dream is showing us anyway.
Yes. So he's like really taken aback by all of this though, and he's like, what am I
oh yeah, he shoves Reth against the wall.
Yeah,
very like Batman vibes to me, like
very much so. And Reth is telling him, you felt it, didn't you? You felt the darkness. That means you can stop the darkness, because he saw a ring. It's the door to the end of life as we know it.
Yes. So this is the second actual Halo reference in Halo. The first was earlier. I think Maki mentions the sacred ring earlier as well. So they're actually starting to talk about it now.
Mm-hmm. So there's this ring that they're discussing, and he's basically saying the way to stop it would be to destroy this artifact and then destroy yourself.
Yeah, which does make sense to me. Because John is a reclaimer, as we talked about, has the ability to activate these Forerunner artifacts, putting the pieces together, right? You've got the artifact is a way to get to the ring, the Halo ring. The Halo ring, Reth says, is a door to the end of life as we know it. And the Halo ring was built by the same people who built the artifact. So it stands to reason that the blessed ones, or the reclaimers, can activate it.
Yeah.
And so the reason that Reth is saying that Master Chief would not only need to destroy the artifact, but himself, is because as long as he's alive, he is able to activate this weapon.
Yes.
Right? And bring life to an end.
Yeah. So he's basically like, if you want everybody to live, you probably got to die.
Yeah.
And it's like, Even though
we don't know how many of these people there are, I don't think that's, he's really thinking this through. We already know of two.
No. But what's really interesting to me then is that John is going to be like, all right, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going home. I shouldn't have run away. I feel bad that I ran away. This is too big. This is beyond my pay grade. I don't know anyone else, so I've got no one else to talk to about it. I got to go home. And Soren kind of mocks. He's like, oh, you always go running back to mommy.
Yeah. And we're going to see that, like, that mommy-style relationship later.
Yeah, yes. Very much.
He's not wrong about this.
He's not. But he's going to tell him, keep Quan here. I can't bring her back. Quan's like, I'm coming with you. He's like, you're not. This is the best that I can do if you want to stay alive. And he asks Soren, if there was ever a time that I needed to trust you, it's now. So can I trust you? And Soren says, you can. But I don't know. I hope so. I hope we can. He's a pirate. Can you trust a pirate?
Yeah, I hope. I mean, he said so. So I mean,
especially when Quan has a, you know, potentially a big bounty on her head. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. We'll have to see what happens with that. That'll be a very interesting plot to develop. And I think that part of the reason Quan is staying is so that we can also stay with Soren.
Yes, I think that's right.
Used to kind of hang out on the rubble and all these interconnected asteroids and see what happens there on that side and stay there. Yeah. But yeah, it's a curious case for Quan, especially. She doesn't really have anywhere anymore.
Yeah. So Master Chief gets back into Master Chief mode. He puts the whole helmet on. He gets on his ship. He turns on the beacon. The Spartans find him. They escort him back to base. You know, it all happens pretty quick.
Yep. And Halsey takes the artifact right away.
She does immediately. And Miranda is watching this whole time. And I'm like, okay, clocking that, because Miranda is like going to break John out of prison or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also noticed that, again, John sort of looks back at Halsey, like, as in, like, the, hey, mom, like you're going to come give me a hug? And she's like, okay, get the artifact on the Warhog. Let's go. Like, she doesn't care. She wants the artifact.
Correct.
And I think that's notable, even though he doesn't seem to mind that much in the next conversation that they have. But
yeah. And so this next conversation is like, you've been a naughty boy.
Exactly.
You ran away from home and you left us with all these problems and we were worried sick about you. And he says, but I was feeling things. I had big feelings. She said, well, let's not talk about the big feelings.
We don't need to. Let's just suppress that.
Let's focus on the results instead.
Let's focus on my artifact.
Uh-huh.
She's great in this scene, by the way. This is
so creepy, all of this.
Oh yeah, and it's peak Halsey too. Like it really captures the character of Halsey very well.
Yeah, she's like untrustworthy, feels like, but you do get sort of this childlike quality out of Master Chief, who seems like yes, mom, you know. And like, I guess like part of me was like, man, I think it's kind of maybe like a botched narrative opportunity that Master Chief doesn't have connections across the galaxy. Mm-hmm. But then I think the other thing is that, you know, there is something to be said about this big, strong guy who's just like a big, strong kid.
Yeah.
You know, who's like turning, you know, he's changing. He's like, his body is changing.
I know. Corey. I was going to say there's some connections there, right?
Spartan puberty.
Yeah.
Spuberty. Spuberty. Yeah. Spuberty.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So he's going through spuberty.
Mm-hmm.
And for Spartans, it happens much later in your life. And you have to touch an ancient alien artifact in order to trigger it.
Right. An awakening of sorts.
That's right.
So he says he came back because there's no one else that he could trust. And he says, I'm changing. I don't think it was anything about the situation. It's that I've never felt anything before. And I think, nothing else was different. It's that I'm different now. And she's kind of, you know, telling, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be great. I see this as a new beginning between us. And it's juxtaposed with this, this final scene. There's a couple of things that we see. We see Maki taking her clothes off. She has these scars on her back. So in terms of showing the bod, we are definitely seeing a lot of scarred bods across this show.
We are. Yeah. And this was a little interesting that they were showing Maki. I don't know from like a narrative standpoint, if you have a take on it, but like, why?
I was wondering, was she Spartan trained at some point or something like that? Was a thought that I had.
That's a thought. She doesn't have like the clean scars though, right? Like John has very like patterned scars of like surgical components, and she seemed to have like a burn mark sort of type of scars, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seemed really interesting that he was having that conversation while they were showing Maki, you know, show the bod.
Right.
It's very interesting to me.
So we see that, and then we see, you know, Quan is watching the Venture video, just getting more and more furious. She's just gonna go rogue and go after Venture, and Soren's like, I promised my friend that I'd look after you. And so that's where that story is gonna go, is my prediction. And then we see Halsey unlocking Cortana, and Cortana wakes up, and this is unsettling. I'm supposed to be excited about Cortana, but I'm nervous about Cortana, right? Isn't this supposed to be cool?
Cortana's supposed to be cool. Yeah.
But I'm so nervous. This doesn't seem great.
This whole like take over the consciousness thing is so interesting to me. Even when she was talking to John, you mentioned at the end of that scene where she's like, yeah, I think that it's going to be a, you know, new beginning, right? Or whatever she says there. I think that that sort of implies that she's expecting to sort of take over his mind. But also we know that Cortana is a character.
Yeah.
And even just knowing that makes me think, well, there's no way that she actually completely controls his mind, right? Because she's a separate personality in the show. But I don't know. And we'll have to see what happens. They definitely are creating this element of like dark vibes around Cortana, which, I mean, to be fair, Halsey created her, so it makes sense that there's some dark, nefarious back to it, just like the Spartans.
Yeah. So I guess we'll find out as we keep pushing forward through season one of Halo. But that's episode 2 in the books. I had fun. I'm interested, you know, as somebody who's like, you know, Halo agnostic, I'm digging it. I'm enjoying it.
Now, speaking of Halo agnostic, I did have a question for you based on the end of that
episode.
So if you were wearing the holy attire that Maki is wearing, mm-hmm. would you take your sleeves off last?
I think sleeves probably go early.
That's what I would think. Why were the sleeves the last thing? I just don't understand. And I don't know.
I think sleeves come on early if you're putting a robe on as well.
Yes, that's true.
So, you know,
maybe it's like the robe side of things. That's true. That's a good point.
So when I think about it that way, I guess it makes sense, you know, that the sleeves are kind of like the Marines of the outfit, you know, first one's on, last one's off.
Yeah. And actually on that note, I would love some Wiggler's Wombats, holy sleeves, please.
I think Wiggler's Wombats, like compression sleeves, Rey has in Star Wars.
Oh, that would work.
I was going to say actually that they would be bad.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. I don't like them.
Okay. All
like
right.
Arm sleeves. I don't know.
I think we can start a trend.
We could try. Holy sleeves is an interesting conversation. We could have it another time.
You can go more than one direction there for sure.
I certainly can. So that's Halo. We'll see where we go in episode 3. I'm interested to see what's going to happen now that Cortana's unlocked, what's going to happen now that John and Quan are separated, and you know, are they going to be able, are they going to be apart from each other for the whole season or just for a little while? It's hard to know. The pace of the show has been, you know, it in some ways fast and then in other ways maybe a little slow. You know, I don't entirely know what to predict in terms of John and Quan getting back together, but I expect that Quan, you know, freelancing her way out of there and going to Madrigal makes some sense to me.
I think so too.
As like a next step for her. Anyone, if you have predictions, we would love to hear them. You can email us. You can send an email to me, josh@postshowrecaps.com. You can tweet at us as well. I'm at Round Howie. At Round Howie. Who's that? Wow.
It's
very, very strange slip of the tongue. At Round Howie is a great guy. Tweet at
Lord Terrence Howie.
Yes. At Fleet Admiral Lord Terrence Round Howard is my Twitter handle. At Cavex is Corey. You can talk to both of us in the Post Show Recaps Patreon Discord, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Start of a new month. We would love to see you if you want to talk to us about Halo and anything else under the sun. You can also follow Corey on Twitch, streaming video games every now and then, twitch.tv/Cavex.
Absolutely. I just started playing Kirby in the Forgotten Land.
How is that?
It's really cute and very fun.
Yeah,
I recommend it. And it's going to be a great game to play with my kids. And as a note, we mentioned, I think last time, the hidden origins of Cavex as a screen name.
Yeah.
Are tied partially to Kirby.
What?
Fun story. Used to really like that game as a kid.
All right. We are slowly seeding out the origin of Cavex here.
That's right.
And if you're a patron of Post Show Recaps, you can find out right away. You're not going to have to wait the next 7 weeks or 8 weeks, whatever it's going to be.
And I will show you a picture that was created for me.
Yes.
That's part of the Kirby universe, technically speaking.
Doesn't Kirby eat cars in the new game?
Yeah, Kirby. Yeah. That's the thing.
Kind of wild.
Cars, vending machines, traffic cones. Kirby is getting into some larger objects here.
You'd think the vending machine tastes the best.
I would think so. But Kirby also spits out cans as an attack when he eats the vending machine. So
he's like draining the liquids from the soda cans and then
I would hope that he at least gets to drink the soda before he spits out the can.
I would hope so.
A lot of sense to me, like logistically.
Hope so as well. All right, folks. Halo returns next week on Paramount Plus. The Post Show Recaps coverage of Halo will return as well. Until next time, Corey B, take us away.
Halo. It's the ring you're looking for. It's a show about the game. And Wiggler doesn't have a clue. Meanwhile, Corey used to cheat at Halo 2.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.